So how was it seeing all of your former teammates?
Tremendous. Just tremendous. Good God, I hadn't pulled the ear of many of those guys in several years. So good to see Bobby D and Kenny G and Ricky B and Nancy, everybody. It was so much fun.
Who were you most worried about seeing?
I honestly, Zeke.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Like, I thought we all understood that the Eastern Conference Finals in the 80s was just a different bear. It's not personal.
Right.
It's not personal.
Right.
I step under a jump shooter. It's not personal.
You're just trying to win your team the game. I think he, as a competitor, he understood that. And in the moment, he had to stick up for his guy, but now that time's passed.
Again, 100%. I think now we can both see each other's perspectives with a clear head. So it was good,
yeah.
to bury that hatchet.
Plus, he was still fine playing on that broken ankle.
Oh, yeah. No, man does not feel pain. People from Chicago are just different.
Mm-hmm. Champagne, that's what he feels.
Oh, boy. I felt it, too. Every time I turned around, it was a flute in my hand.
Yeah, noted liar Isaiah Thomas. It's like, no, this champagne doesn't give you a hangover. I guess, he was probably right. If you drink less than three bottles of it, you probably don't get a hangover. But
yeah, no, did not follow that advice.
How could we? We just kept getting thrown in our faces. We would have been rude to turn down that champagne.
Yeah, no, I have no regrets.
So I'm sure a lot of people saw the videos with absolutely zero context because we don't like to say things ahead of time.
Was that some sort of funeral? Like, what?
We were down in the District of Columbia, also known as Washington, D.C. to the kids.
Also known as Virginia to Dana.
Yes, and also known as Maryland to where we actually were. For the NBA Retired Players Association Players Party. I kept throwing weekend on there. I felt like just saying Players Party wasn't enough words.
Yeah, I know they. I guess they went for alliteration, but I don't know. Gala is a good word. A soiree, like they could have class. We'll work on it. It's fine.
Yeah, this is just the first of many. So yes. We'll get our hands more, our fingerprints more all over the next one, and take control.
Correct.
But yeah, all of Tyler's old pals were in the building. It was a grand old time. Dave Cowens told us an electric story. Rick Barry hates my guts.
Not a fan. And to be quite honest, Isaiah Thomas wasn't too fond of you neither.
That was just strictly based on the color of my skin, though. I can live with
hell
that.
Yeah. Huh? What do you say?
Rick Barry just didn't like my general disposition on life.
No.
Which
he just got you just not a fan.
I mean, but in all honesty, that was kind of the Rick Barry experience I was hoping for. Like, you hear, like, oh, no, that guy's a dick. Like, you don't want that guy to be super friendly. Like, no, no, he was a dick. Like,
I don't know. I thought he was super friendly, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
it was the hat, man. First impressions are everything, and you made a bad first impression.
He didn't care for just my dress in general. It wasn't even just the hat. It
just
was all
your general wardrobe.
He was like, this guy celebrates Christmas far too early for my liking.
Yeah. If that hat was Thanksgiving, you'd still be watching Rick Barry just house appetizers.
No one hates jokes and loves appetizers more than Rick Barry.
That man is a bottomless pit.
Like, we were trying to do this shtick for, like, a Vince Carter, welcome to retirement video, and he just wasn't having it. Just wasn't having it at all.
It was a shtick because he didn't like it. It'd be a bit if he did like it.
Correct. Correct. But what I will say, Rick Barry, just tremendous, knowledge of the game, and he was, really fun to talk to. When we started actually talking about basketball, he liked us a lot. If we were trying to talk about anything else, wasn't a fan.
Yeah, no. I should have asked him about hors d'oeuvres. We'd still be there.
So let me tell you another thing about pigs in the blanket.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a big don't start celebrating Christmas till after Thanksgiving. And even then, it's a little soon.
Again, 100% me and Rick on this.
But the one thing that stood out for me most, just from talking to everybody, Rick Barry is apparently the best. I don't even know if like white basketball player is like, he might just be the best basketball player of all time.
Yeah, no, when everybody can pretty much just agree on it. Like, there was just a consensus at the party that Rick Barry was just the baddest white boy to ever play. And it was like Bird, it was like everybody was like second, yep. second.
Isaiah's like fifth.
Yeah. what about Kelly Tripecker? He's much better. Tom Chambers.
Yeah. But yeah, Rick Barry.
And Rick Barry was just he was just sitting there just eating steak, like, yeah, I was cold. I was real cold.
And he was like, our close personal friend Spencer Haywood, who we spent most of the time with, just because he's the opposite of Rick Barry. He loves me. Like, I think he'd adopt me if given the chance.
I don't know who he'd pick between you and Dana. I think he really enjoyed that magic suits business.
Yeah, that's true. Suits, shoes, all of it. He's also he's a guy who runs hot, which is weird considering how many layers he constantly has on.
You know, four layers of Under Armour under the. Under the long johns, wool long
johns. But yeah, he tried to say Bobby Dandridge gave Rick Barry 40 once, and Rick Barry was like, impossible. I would have fouled out. I was a poor sport. It was.
Let me say that I was going to. I have it at my fingertips right now. Should I check like the head to head to see what's what, or just let the story be the story?
Just let it be.
I think so too.
Because I think actually Spencer might have misspoke. I think Rick gave Dandridge 40, but he said it the other way. And Rick Barry was like, "I'll kill everyone in here."
He said we can dust them off right now. We got some Converse in the car.
Yeah, we were asking because we only had we had a sit down with who you'll hear on this episode, Rick Barry. Nancy Lieberman, a future president of the United States, potentially the whole entire world, Nancy Lieberman.
Okay, now, yeah, there's the difference. Spencer loved you, Rick loved me, Nancy loved us both.
Correct.
And all of humanity.
No, she wasn't a fan of Devlin, though, because Devlin called her Miss, and she almost swung on him.
Yeah, no, she would have tightened him up real quick.
Nancy Lieberman raps for us. She was just the best. We could have talked to her for... she'll be back on for certain.
Correct.
And Spencer, we had long sit downs with all three of them, and then at the party we just had a camera and we were walking around talking to people, and so we only had him for a few quick minutes, and so we didn't want to ask like super personal questions. We wanted to ask like things that these guys could get them riled up, things that would let them know we were just like we weren't media. We were just trying to get them to laugh.
Right.
And. So we led off like, all right, who in this room would be the most be the easiest to give buckets to? And people were calling out other people. And then Rick Barry was just like, oh, I don't want to be disrespectful. I would just give everyone buckets.
Yeah, no, everybody would get 28.
Six assists, a couple boards, and I'd foul up.
Yeah, I'd play some good defense. I'd get to the stripe 9 times.
But it is incredible. Like Rick Barry – led the NCAA, ABA, and NBA in scoring. Only player to do that. LeBron didn't even come close in two of those.
That's y'all's GOAT.
Yeah, couldn't be me.
I also looked up Bobby Dandridge. Had a really good career.
Yeah.
Like, looking at that, two-time champion. He won with the Bucks, and then with the Bullets, four All-Star games, a second team. A defensive first team for his career average, 18.5, 7 boards, and 3 assists.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no. Got points put on his head by Rick Barry, but who didn't? That's an honor.
Right, right. Yeah, that was just a given. If you were on the court with Rick Barry, points were coming in a fury.
Yeah, no, an honor and a privilege.
But, I mean, my favorite person to talk to the entire time, and I'm sure you agree, well, that's not fair because George Mirosham was also a delight.
Yes.
But was it Kenny Gattinson?
Oh, yeah. You talk about the life of the party.
The best is when we first started talking to him, he tried to, like, hide his drink so it wouldn't be on camera. And then by the end, he was challenging to, like, moonshine chugging contest.
Oh, Kenny. That's Kenny G for you.
And Tyler said it perfectly, because at some point he was like, nah, I can't talk to these guys. They're too nice. And me and Tyler almost, like, we almost just took him down.
Yeah, I think we insulted him a couple times. He was like, hey, these kids are all right.
Yeah. We were like, hey, we could take this outside, Kenny, if that's what you want.
Like, even, like, I looked him up, too. He had a good run of it, too. He was like, yeah, he was assistant coach. Like, all these.
I can't imagine it being.
Oh, yeah.
G.
Oh, yeah. What happened right there? I don't even know, man. I wasn't watching. You tell me.
He had my favorite line of the night when he was like, when I played, I thought I played hard. I thought I played fair. I played respectful.
Oh, and no. I'm sorry.
What?
Embiid happened? Just windmilled a dunk and got hung. Oh, no.
Hate to see that.
It was wildly unnecessary, too.
When you started the sentence, oh, no, and then said Embiid, I was like, oh, he's done.
It could be anything. No, it was just, just the worst kind of getting hung, too.
Like front of the rim?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wildly unnecessary.
A real shame.
Yeah, they're down by 9.
Call that the business a real shame.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off.
But, no, it's fine. But yeah, Gaddison was like, I thought I played hard. I thought I was a good teammate. I always tried to hustle, give that extra effort. And then when I retired, everyone told me I was dirty as hell. I was, what are you talking about?
I couldn't believe it.
That was the best. We need to pull up old film of him. He's just like, pulls like razor wire out of his shorts, like strangles someone. He's like, that was just a clean foul back in my day.
That's just how we played in Charlotte.
You came down the lane, you got shanked in the sternum. What's the beef?
Playoff basketball.
So that was great. So we have these interviews, and then we also have at least one, if not two, videos coming out. Probably tomorrow, either today and tomorrow, or tomorrow and Friday. I don't know. We'll see. Dana also purchased an $800 suit that he did not have the money for.
The suit makes an appearance several times in the videos.
The suit was the star of the. He wore it the entire way home.
Did he have it on today?
He did not have it on today.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's not fully committed to suit life yet.
Yeah, he had me convinced. Wearing suits cool for like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And then it's just like, this is awful.
Very burdensome.
But he said he walked into a suit retailer, and he might as well have just been holding up a giant like neon sign that said sucker on it.
He got, just kick he me got, on the back. what I wouldn't give to just be a fly on the wall of just, I would just love to see Dana buying a car. Like Dana goes and he's like, I want a Prius. Like I'm efficient. I don't want to spend too much. And he walks out and he's like, I bought the Expedition Plus. I don't know why. He's like, I also bought a Ford F-150. I don't know why I bought two.
They're going to combine 12 miles per gallon.
He's like, my car payments are $2,800 a month. He's like, I don't even make that much.
So yeah, Dana was great. Devlin was great.
Yes.
Big 2-point lead for the Celtics at half.
Oh boy.
Hornets down real bad.
Yeah, Trey Kemba, break it up.
Yeah, they're was it you who quote tweeted or retweeted their roster moving forward last night?
Oh yeah, that was just the awful contracts they have on the books.
They pretty exclusively only have awful contracts.
Yeah, the rookies aren't too bad. I don't think Miles I don't think Miles Bridges' deal is too bad.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Let's see. Yeah, it's just one of those like. So Kemba's the sixth highest paid player on his team.
And that's just this season. If he stays, I hope he becomes the first.
Maybe. Batum literally makes twice as much as him.
feels incorrect.
And has this year and two more. Biombo has this year and another one, same as Marvin Williams. Zeller has this year and two more for some reason.
Didn't they just re him up like last year?
Something like that.
Yeah.
MKG has this year. I kind of resent that, honestly. I feel like MKG is the second best of Kimba's. And his is the second cheapest.
Yeah. Well, didn't he sign his deal when he was just like constantly getting injured?
Yeah, it was. I think it was $452.
Yeah.
Which, again, I still don't think it's a bad deal. But
no, I don't think it's a bad deal at all.
Blatant homer. But again, like, you got like Biombo. Man, oh, man. Like Batum? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Jeff Van Gundy? Nick Batum?
I remember when Batum became a free agent, I wanted him so bad.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be really good.
Yeah.
I just didn't... I don't know if I thought he was going to be like $130 million good. He's averaging 9 points a game this year, so that's good.
More than eight.
Yeah, so just this year... So another, 70 games, and then another 82, and then another 82 after those, and then he's off your books.
That's weird, because I like their young guys, too.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, if you really can get some kind of young piece, a lot of people were saying, like, the Lakers, just because they could offer either, like, Ingram or Lonzo as, like, a starting point. And so it's like, okay, like if you're just blowing it, you trade Kimba, but with Kimba, you got to take one of those bad contracts. Hopefully Batum, but probably not Batum.
Probably not.
If yeah, but say they take Biombo. So he's out of there. Then you just run like, as a prospect, who would you rather have, Lonzo or Ingram?
Because
they both stink now.
I mean, I think Ingram has the higher ceiling, but I think I might take Lonzo.
What, you think he's more likely to hit whatever his ceiling is?
Yeah, and I think, like, just him having the freedom in Charlotte would be interesting to watch.
Yeah, well, he's shooting 38% for the year, so there's that.
He sure is.
But again, like, if you just... Like, yeah, we're just going to start over. We're just going, like, Lonzo, Monk, Bridges, Tank. Like, hope, try to add. I think they've got their picks. Like, I don't think they like, owe any terrible draft picks.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And I don't, like, I keep hearing all this, like they love Kimba and he's the best player in franchise history, which I get it, but I don't know. I feel like every long-term deal gets picked apart except for like Kimba's. Like, he's a tiny guard. Like, how's he gonna look in 5 years?
Probably similar, just slightly slower.
But can't,
similar in the sense that like his facial
yes, his, like, DNA will still be that of Kimba Walker.
Yes. Yes, that's, yes.
But it's like, a guy that small, if you lose a step, like Isaiah Thomas, like that, sometimes that can be the difference.
Oh yeah.
No. Again, I'm not saying he's like trash or only dependent on his tremendous athleticism. But I don't know. I think his deal is like 5 years, like $200 million or something. That's going to be like 40% of your cap to a multiple-time All-Star, but a guy that's probably not going to make an All-NBA team. Not this year, at least. Yeah. I'm not saying he can't ever, but... He's 28. He's not a young man.
No, sure isn't.
So I don't, like, I wouldn't hate him in LA. I think he off LeBron could be really fun.
Yeah, I could see that. But is LA going to max him? Like, anyone who trades for him, you assume, is just going to max him?
I feel like they have to. Just because I know I imagine he should and will be asking for a max.
Definitely should be.
Yeah. And I don't know if, like, the last year matters to him. Or he's like, I want the most money. I just want to stay in Charlotte. Like, maybe that doesn't matter to him. Maybe he wants to be the best player in franchise history.
Yeah, because at this point, maybe he's just like, I can go, like, attach my, like, because he'll be 33 when this next deal, if he takes the full five. Mm-hmm. He'll be 33 going on 34. Maybe he's like, I want to be the best player in Hornets history. I can do that over these next 5 years. And then the last, like, 3 to 5 years of my career, I'll go ring chase.
That's a, even, I mean, he might take, like, a 3+1. I was like, okay, like, I'll get out of here at, like, 32.
Right.
Or 31, whatever. So, I think that would be my mindset. Because, again, I know as much as they love him, they're not coming out to see him because their attendance has been trash forever. That's just how it goes.
I'm watching their halftime show right now, and it's a white guy with a guitar. So that's what I think of when I think of basketball.
Yeah, Charlotte's really got his thumb on the pulse.
And also, I mean, it feels like a nice problem to have when we're talking about Southeastern Division point guards or guards in general and their futures because the Wizards have officially imploded.
Oh, yeah. Now they stink. Big bad.
They're fighting in practice. They're...
John Wall's cursing people. Bradley Beal's just over it in general.
I mean, this was like the worst kept secret in any sport ever.
I don't even think it was a secret. Like, they'd be sitting right next to each other. You guys hate each other, right? And it's like, hate is a strong word, but
they don't like each other for sure, for certain.
But man, oh
where
man.
Do you do you think they both get dealt? You think neither of them get dealt? You think one of them gets dealt? Those are the options. Literally, there are no other options.
Honestly, I could be talked into keeping just Beal, but I do think if I trade Wall, I think I'd want to trade Otto Porter too.
Okay.
Because he hasn't been good this year, like simple and plain. And I've heard I've heard people online say that like some of that because of his game's dependent on a point guard.
Uh-huh.
So that some of that's on Wall, who again has not been good this year.
No, the Wizards have not been good this
year. No, but I feel like Beal's been all right. I feel like he's just been Brad Beal. I feel like he just does his 23-4-4, like regardless of whatever they're doing. But yeah, Porter can go, and I know Wizards fans are telling like they think like he's still battling like hip and back injuries.
Not great.
No, so I was like, I'd try to get off that now if I could.
Yeah, hit up the Nets, see if they still want him.
Yeah, be like, come on. And yeah, I could be talking to keeping Bill, but again, like he'd probably get you the most. So maybe, like maybe they call LA and like we want Lonzo and Ingram. Take that.
Magic's like, will do.
Yeah, say no more.
Although I do feel like Magic would be most interested in Wall because that's the second superstar he was looking for.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like them or Kemba. Like, somebody's going to, like, whoever don't strike first, it's like a chair gets removed.
Yeah.
So.
Although, like, I know Phoenix is in the mix. Orlando can do something stupid at any given moment.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
But I'm just picturing them trading, like, Isaac, Vucevic for the money, and I don't even know. A pick for John Wall, and it's just being like, we got our superstar, and he's playing with nobody.
This is our guy. No, I could be talking, like, if they did some sort of, like, John Wall for, like, Aaron Gordon, and then I'd trade Porter for, I think, like, Zach Lowe, I think he mentioned, like, the Pelicans. Just get, like, Solomon Hill, like, and because the Pelicans just give up picks, that's just what they do. Just get another pick from them, yeah. And I might just roll with that. I hope that, like, a happy Brad Beal and Aaron Gordon can at least be entertaining and non-toxic.
Asking a lot.
Yeah. But even, like Oubre's fine. I still don't, like, I don't know. I think he gets paid this summer, but I don't know what he gets paid.
No idea. Absolutely no clue.
Like, if you tell me he took, like, 4 years, $45 million, I'm like, that seems fair. It's like he got 4 years, $86 million. I'm like, that seems fair.
2 years, 25. It's like, all right, I see it.
Yeah, okay, all right. Player option in the second, got you. Like, he's not really playing that well this year. But again, they stink just as a team, as a culture. Right.
Yeah, whenever they start making moves, or I guess when they stop making moves, that's when I'm going to start judging all of these people again.
You're talking about, like, the teams or the individuals, you said?
The individuals. Like, whenever the Wizards find, like, parse this out and they're like, all right, we're done. Like, we traded Wall to Phoenix. We traded Porter to wherever. Like, we kept Beal. That's when I'll start judging all of these people as individuals.
Fair. I'm looking at, yeah, the Wizards got, like, all their own first-round picks, which feels like the first time in a really long
time. It's shocking. Yeah. Shocking.
I can't. I was like, let me make sure I'm not reading this wrong. Let me see. Do the Hornets? The Hornets don't owe anything. I mean, some second rounders, but they don't owe any first. Yeah, I think I'd look to blow it up, man. Well, would you blow it up, or would you keep any one of them? Or
I would have blown it up like last year.
All three of them?
No, because before Porter got hurt, like, I mean, the revision, like, he might not be playing well now. Before Porter got hurt, it was like, oh, this is, I feel like this would have been a Francis take. Like, this is the best guy on the Wizards.
Like, oh, no. He's been saying it for multiple years. which I'm saying now, I was like, okay, that's fine. But if he is, then he need to be getting this heat that John Wall is getting.
Right.
That Brad Beal is like, if that's your best player, that's fine. But he's stinking this year, so. And so, yeah, he's their highest paid player. So that's what you match that deal, that's what happens.
I'm very interested to see Wall. I do feel like if he went to a bigger market, that would help him. I feel like if he went to an Orlando or even a Phoenix, he might just basically retire, like just get real fat and stop caring.
Well, he's already done that, so.
But like worse.
See, the only thing is, I think he just wants to be treated like a star. So, yeah. If he got traded to Orlando and they were like, no, you're our guy. And he got, like, his billboards and all, like, stars in Orlando had shoe. Like, you can have a shoe deal anywhere.
Oh, 1,000%.
So, like, if he gets a shoe deal, like, they're just like, you're our guy.
Right.
Or if he goes to, like, Phoenix, it's like, no, yeah, this is the back. Like, we want you. Like, you're going to be our rush. You're in Booker. I think he wants to be wanted.
That's exactly what Isaiah said when the Celtics got him. He was like, this is the – and Oladipo said with Indiana. It was right. Like, this team was the first one who was like, no, we see it with you. You're our guy. Here are the keys. And sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah. Like, again, he's – I do think some of his has been injuries. Like, just athletically, he's just not the same. But he shows enough flashes to where he should be a lot more productive than he's been. I don't think he's done. I'll say that. Like, I don't think he just like washed up. Like, this is a dead contract. But if he's just going to be miserable for most of it, then yeah. So yeah, like if Orlando, Phoenix, I'm trying to think. Not Chicago. Like, I don't know if they like somebody. Miami. Anybody that was looking for Jimmy Butler, if they're like, okay, can we just give you what we're going to give that, like minus one thing for John Wall.
And yeah, hope. I don't hate that.
Like, and hope just, like, Spoelstra and the Miami culture or whatever can motivate them.
I don't hate that at all. Plus, they wear red.
They do wear red. I don't know what I don't know how John will feel about the Miami Knights.
Yeah. He's still wearing red. He's like, yeah, they're wearing those. I'm wearing this.
Like, and again, for all that this year, I'm looking at his numbers right now. He's averaging a 21-3-8, 2 steals a game. Like, his turnovers are down for his career. He's shooting about average, and he's getting to the line more. So, for all, like, that's going on bad, he's still doing numbers, at least. I just think it just feels toxic.
It sure does.
Like, he's part of it for sure, but it's been toxic long before him. So, I don't think
correct.
I think he's getting more, a little bit more of the blame that he deserves.
Yeah, I think where Washington screwed up is they were like, oh, we'll just get rid of Gortat. That will fix everything.
Right, yes. We'll replace him with Dwight Howard.
And Austin Rivers.
That's what I'd want to be curious about. Like, these guys are still physically good. Is there a number that can measure bad chemistry?
I don't know.
Like, when this four-man plays together, they're a minus 87. They hate each other's guts.
They only turn the ball over. They've never completed a pass.
Yuck. Like last, like, 6-7 years, Zach Lowe went through them, like, one by one. He's like, a lot of them you can understand in the moment. It's just like you just can't miss that many times in a row. Like, they traded the pick for Markieff Moore with draft picks, which was, the pick was Papa Giannis. So it's like they won that one, but it could have been a number of players that are better than Markieff Morris. And you keep doing that, and you miss on Jan Vesely, and you give your money to Jan Mahimny. Like, it's just a bunch of garbage.
It is a bunch of garbage, but it's also like, if Washington didn't spend them, and I'm not trying to justify the Mahimny deal, but how many people are like, yeah, I want to play in Washington?
Man, look, after being there this weekend, I want to play in Washington. Lovely city.
Listen, you were there back with Marichon in 94. We know.
Well, yeah, but again, I didn't make it out of training camp. I didn't get to explore the city. My hide was on the line.
But it definitely speaks to, like, not making a move is sometimes your best move. Like, just sit on that money, sign, like, end of the bench guy to a one-year deal. Like, that is typically, or can typically be a better move than just being like, oh, here's $50 million, Jan. But even, like, the Morris trade, like, I've already seen what his brother's done in Boston, and it's, like, I know they're the exact same human being. So I wouldn't chalk that up as a bad move.
No, that's, like, that's what he's saying. He's like, in a vacuum, individually, a lot of these are, like, again, yeah, they clearly won the Markieff Morris one. But he's like, the next year, they traded their first round pick to rent Bogdanovich. They got half a year out of him, and that was
That was dumb.
Well, yeah, because that was the draft for like 20 to 30 was Jared Allen, OG, Kuzma, Hart, Derek White. Like, they could add any of those guys.
Right.
And they had to do it to get rid of money that they gave Andrew Nicholson, which was basically just setting money on fire.
Correct. Yes, if they had signed you or I, they would have had the exact same production.
Yeah. So it was like they let, like, Ariza walk because they had to have money to pay, I think, it must have been Wall, like, before this deal. So it's like, okay, that makes sense.
And that was probably because they re-signed Gortat, which at the time everyone was like, oh, yeah, you can't lose Gortat.
Yeah, everybody needs a big man. This is the NBA. But, and again, like, I don't know that Scott Brooks is doing much to help it.
I think we know he is not.
Like, it's, I don't know. I don't trust Grunfeld, the GM. Like, I don't, like, they're slick the Suns east.
Yeah.
Like, just the level of dysfunction.
I mean, it's funny. Oh, boy. Marcus Smart hitting threes all over the place.
Oh, boy.
We made an extra pass to give him the three. He's 3 for 3.
He's hot. Man, feed him.
Kevin just shook him off the screen. Oh, but missed. Good defense. I'm going to stop doing this now.
It's easy to fall into.
Mm-hmm. It real is. I see why Francesa does it all the time. He's like, now legally I'm not allowed to do this. Oh, open three. Good shot. we're running the Hornets off there, Court. It's weird, though, because, like, if they were to do that Aaron Gordon trade, which obviously I doubt has even been discussed because it's two highly incompetent organizations.
Correct.
I feel like Brooks would be far and away the most stable and competent coach Aaron Gordon's had ever.
Probably, yeah. Since high school, at least.
Right. And, like, that's bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, maybe you do that. Maybe you flip Otto Porter for, like, a, I don't even, I say, like, a Miles Turner. They're just like, okay, we turn that money into a wing and we'll just make Sabonis our guy. So then in Washington, you've got Beal, Turner, and Gordon. That's your big three in the East. They're all already signed, and then you work off those three.
Yeah, I don't hate that plan.
That's, like, you could, again, like, I would tweet this, and they would reply, Warriors in 4, which, I mean, that's everybody. So, I mean, what? to literally everybody. But I don't know. Correct. The Warriors stink now, so maybe not.
They do. Without Steph, they're just bad.
Yeah, man, oh, man, I'm starting to come around. They look awful. No, but yeah, but like if they could, like, be, I feel like all three of those guys are good guys. Like Bill. Like,
just well, be, like, good at basketball guys.
We've been, like, just generally nice people. Like, they just need, like, a locker room reset. Like, maybe it was Wall, but I...
Like, I don't want to... He doesn't deserve all the blame.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it. Like it's similar to Boogie in Sacramento. Like, he didn't help himself a lot of the time, but he was, like, born in the abyss. Like, he didn't have a choice. Also, they gave him that deal. They... Nobody made them... Gave him this extension 2 years out.
And there was only one gun pointed at him when he did it, so I don't know why he was afraid for.
Would have had to shoot me. I would no way I'm giving that guy like 6 years from now $40 million.
What else happened?
Or damn, what about Wall for Kemba? Wall's from North Carolina. I'm sure he's familiar with Michael Jordan.
He's like, eh, never heard of him. So yeah, we will be back Thursday. Spoiler: that episode's already recorded. Not actually. While I say that, I just know we're about to right now. We have a delightful interview with NCAA champ and NBA champ Corey Brewer.
Yes.
Just a delightful human being. Needs to get back in the league ASAP. And I believe he will. Because he's...
Probably by the time this is posted.
Right. Like, he's just a very... Yeah. Like, he does just everything well. And, like, someone... Even if someone doesn't get hurt, I feel like someone's going to, like, remember that he's not in the league and be like, well, we'll take him.
Yeah, no, it's going to be one of those... Okay. All right. Lakers got Chandler. Okay. Got Brewer for nothing. They get, like, another buyout guy. It's like, okay. The pieces are coming together.
Right. Yeah, it's like, oh, anyone could have signed this guy? What the fuck?
Yeah, right. Yeah, now he's hitting 39% on corner threes, playing 17 minutes a game.
And then just real scrappy defense when he's in.
Oh, yeah.
Juice looks a billion times better today than any other game I've seen.
Low bar.
That's why I said a billion. So enjoy, in order, Rick Barry, Nancy Lieberman, and just them two today.
Just those interviews.
Yeah, Spencer and Corey Brewer will be together. Spencer, you always want to spend Thanksgiving with your best friends and family, and Spencer is far and away this show's best friend.
Yes.
So, Spencer and Brewer on Thursday, Rick Barry... my mortal enemy and Nancy Lieberman.
Our BFF.
Yeah, right now.
Enjoy.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules aim is slain, anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
We are here, mixtape, with a legend for Players Party down here in D.C. We're here with Mr. Rick Barry. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm just wondering how you're doing dressed like that.
I was we were going to lead with that, because right when I walked in the room, you were like,
you
who is this clown?
Showing Warner up fan. Like that, I'll tell you that.
You hate Christmas, Rick? You hate Christmas? Is that
well,
what this
first
is?
First of all, it's not even Thanksgiving when we're doing this interview. My wife hates it when she sees all these decorations going up. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet.
Let's I agree.
Be thankful for what we have. Then we can celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, so, let's shame
so
this
maybe,
guy.
Maybe we should put you in a turkey outfit.
If you have one, I'll wear one. No
I
problem.
Bet you would.
He just pulls one out of his room.
We walked in the room. Rick Barry almost threw up. He saw me.
Did not
he
like
was
it.
Disgusted.
I saw Christmas stuff in September.
I know,
like that just feels way
really
too early to me.
Same thing when some of the radio stations they put Christmas music on starting in November.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they never will get me to go to that station again.
Same.
So are you like the day after Thanksgiving? It's okay to go?
Yeah, sure. I mean, once Thanksgiving's over, I mean, even that's a little bit early.
Yeah.
I mean, but
agree.
I mean, to me. I know my father-in-law, Thanksgiving is his very emotional holiday for him, but I've always been a big believer in Christmas. In fact, when I was playing ball, I started a charity called Christmas Cheer for Children because I always felt how sad that kids would get up on Christmas morning and not have a present,
right.
You know, and have something there, even though it is about, you know, Christ and what have you, but it's still, you think of Santa Claus and all the other good things associated with Christmas. And so I had done that, and I won't get into the whole story and all, but it's a very rewarding thing. I wish I could be playing today and had those three extra zeros on my contract.
It's still time.
Because I've been trying for years to get the designated free throw shooter rule in, but they're not going for it. And I play for the average salary, which would be worth a lot more than I ever made. But yeah, I mean, just to have the kids to be able to have a present in the morning, and it's much better. I've always been a better giver than receiver. I really get a lot of enjoyment out of giving. In fact, playing basketball, I actually got more enjoyment out of making a really nice pass and creating an opportunity for my teammate to score than I did scoring myself.
I'm much better receiver than giver. So I'm
You want me passing to you when we play basketball?
Please,
okay,
yes,
yeah,
please. I'm wide open, Rick. Yeah,
that works. All right. So right before we got on, you said you just had a very productive board meeting. You guys got a lot of good stuff going on.
We did. We have an incredible board. I've been associated with the retired players for many, many years now. I've been on the board a number of different times, more so than anybody else that's on the board right now. That's because I'm old. And this is my last year that I'll be off the board starting in All-Star break next year. And I think I'm going out on a high note. I've never experienced the type of meeting, the type of production, the type of conversation, the type of interplay that we've had over this meeting here and with the group of players we have on the board right now. And we are without question on the right path that I wish we could have gotten on years ago. We have a bright future. The things that we're trying to accomplish and the things that we're doing and what we're trying to do to get the younger players to understand how meaningful it would be and how important for them to be a part of what the retired players are trying to do and helping in the community and doing all of those good things. I'm really excited about what took place. I'm a happy camper.
I guess what was different about, I guess, this meeting as far as like past meetings? Like what?
Well, we accomplished a lot. First of all, we all were able to express our ideas, our thoughts and concerns without people getting upset about them. We took a lot of things in. We wrote a lot of things down. It was a good exchange of ideas and concepts in order to make sure that our direction was going in the way that it should have been going a long time ago. Not that we haven't done a lot of good things. Right. We have over the years. Things have been improving on an ongoing basis. But I think it's reached a new high right now. And so it's an exciting time for the NBRPA and, well, for basketball in general. I mean, it's become such an international sport right now with everything that the NBA is doing with their marketing, and we're just happy to be a part of that, and we're going to contribute in our own way.
Now, right before we got going, we had mentioned the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend, and you were very quick to call it an exhibition, not a game.
Yeah, it is. It's not a game.
Was it? In your day, it was.
And let me tell you something. It was serious competition.
You fouled out twice.
I fouled out twice. I think I said
should have been three times.
So, I mean, you think anybody's going to ever foul out of the game here? Nobody guards anybody.
I don't know why they have refs now, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know why they have it. They should just call their own fouls because nobody does anything. Nobody guards anybody. That's why I always kind of hope when it's there that the game actually is close, because I think the competitiveness then will come out if it's a close game, and they'll actually try to see if they can win if it happens to be close in the fourth quarter. But they should have asterisks there, any record that's been set over the last I don't know how many years. But we played hard because, first of all, for the pride of saying that you on the – if you're on the Western Conference All-Star team, that you could beat the Eastern Conference All-Star players. Right. I have a picture – it's a black and white, of course, from an All-Star game in 1967 that I played in and was fortunate enough to be the MVP of that game. And seven players are in the picture. All seven are top 50 players.
Wow.
I mean, the quality of the players that we had back in those days was insane. I mean, they have great quality right now, too. Right. But I'm talking about – but you're talking about guys going out and getting after it.
Right.
I mean, serious, playing as hard as you can play with a desire to actually win. And one of the reasons you wanted to win is I think back in those days, it might have been 2,000 and 1,000 for the winning team getting $2,000 and the losing team 1,000. It might have been three. I was making, my first year, I made $15,000.
Right. So minimum wage.
$15,000 as the second pick player in the draft. Wow. They offered me $12,500, had no agents. I negotiated up, got a $3,000 signing bonus, and I was like a pig in slop. I said, I can't believe I'm actually making money. They're paying me this much money to play basketball, and it's nothing compared to what's going on now. So if it was $3,000, I mean, that's a fifth of my salary. Right. So why am I not going to go out there and play super hard? But that's what it was. It was always extremely competitive, and I don't know how it's wound up changing, but it's gotten to the point now where they get outrageous amounts of money for being on the team, and it's – it's just not a game. It's just not competitive anymore.
How do you think you can bring it back to how it used to be?
I don't think it ever will get back to it. They tried last year with, you know, the players picking guys and trying to get a little more into it. I think it was much better than it had been in years past. But I don't ever think it would get back to the competitive nature that it was before. And here's the thing, is that if you get your mindset that you're going to be watching this to be entertained for some of the amazing things that they're going to do. And they are going to do some amazing things. I mean, with their lobs and all the crazy stuff that's going on, there are a lot of very entertaining and fun things to be able to watch.
For sure, yeah.
But it's not a competitive game of basketball. So if you go in with the proper attitude and mindset as to what it is you're going to be witnessing, you can still enjoy it.
So, like, do you think the draft and now this year they'll be televising the players' draft? You think that'll help any? Like, just going back to kind of a pride thing? Like, nobody wants to be picked last, though.
No, but still, it's just a matter of the game itself. It's just never going to be what it used to be. And that's not, you know, not saying it's still a great weekend. The NBA does a great job putting it on. The Saturday's fun with the competitions they have and the skills stuff. But the game itself will never, ever get back to being the competitive game that it used to be back when I first came into the league and played, and for many, many decades. And then some reason it changed. I mean, things change all the time in the game. It's just like we were talking at our meeting today, and I was like, who came up with this idea of the guy's got to slap hands with the free throw shooter? You know, after he – I mean, leave him alone. Let him focus on trying to get you a free point,
for
God's
sake.
And
you
here,
with the rhythm?
He misses, and they're going up. And I said, hey, if
that's
he misses, go up
get.
And smack him in the head.
Yeah, that's what I don't get,
What am I slapping him on the front of you? I said, you idiot, you missed a free throw. You cost us a point.
So you a big fan of, like, Rondo trying to get in there and mess with the other team when they go in for the high fives?
Competitive advantage?
No, just play the game. I mean, come on. And I blame the coaches for that, okay? First of all, as a player, and this, you know, Nancy Lieberman is here looking at me because she's a coach right now, but I blame the coaches.
Nancy, disbelieve.
And I'm not saying Nancy's fault. Nancy, get in. See, Nancy, no. It's the coaches. First of all, because the coach controls things. If you as a coach tell your player that you're not going to tolerate some of the things that they do and he won't play as a result or she won't play, they're not going to do it because they all want to play.
Right.
So here's the thing. I always say, when I watch these guys do something and make this big thing and they pull their chest out and this, hey, you know what? You made your statement because you made the play. Everybody saw it.
Right. There's no need to
go on
top of that.
There's no need for you to go on top of that. Do it. You did. That's why I love Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard just goes about his business, right?
Sure.
He's just matter of fact, does his business, nothing over there. What do you need all of that stuff for? I mean, it's just, and it's been allowed because the coaches allowed it. If the coach had told any player, I don't want any of these individual displays of grandiose stuff that you've done and bringing attention to you, if you're going to do that, I'm going to take you out of the game. It would stop in a heartbeat. Seriously.
Is that your biggest pet peeve?
It's one of the major pet peeves I have about that is that's not necessary. It doesn't have to be a part of the game. All it does is tick off some of the other guys, and definitely, you know, sometimes it leads to some confrontations and other things. And you don't need to have that either. I mean, just play the game for the purity of the game. You know, people say, oh, that's old school. Well, that's the way the game was designed to be played. It was in the old school days. And this too much of the one-on-one, as great as they are and as amazing things that they do, I can tell you all kinds of things. If I was still doing color commentary, they wouldn't probably like me there because I'd be pointing out all of these things that I think are not good for the game.
Like what?
Too much dribbling. Yeah. I mean, it's dribble, dribble, dribble. Everything's off the dribble. You don't catch the ball on the wing. I catch the ball on the wing, and I got it. I'd see how my man is. I would not put the ball on the floor until it was a productive dribble to try to go by my guy.
Right.
But they all of a sudden start dribbling, and I always tell players when I was coaching, I said, look, the moment you start dribbling the ball, the moment you dribble that ball, instead of holding on to it to get by your person, the defender, if my teammate's defender turned his head and he cut to the basket. How am I going to get him the ball if it's not in my hands?
Right.
So you've missed out on a lot of opportunities to be more productive as an offense. And so that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves is that, and then guys stand around and I just hate watching it. That's why I love my old team, the Warriors. The Warriors played the game the right way. There's no great surprise as to why they've won championships.
Right.
Because they play the game the right way. They play unselfishly. They pass. They cut. They move. It's not all one-on-one. In fact, when they get in trouble, it's because a lot of times they go to that too much one-on-one stuff, and they forget to play the brand of basketball that won championships for them, and they get caught up in that. Now, it can work if the guy's hot and he's making all of his shots,
right.
But if he's not doing that, you're not getting easy baskets. You're making it more difficult for yourself. And to be honest with you, and I think Nancy would concur with me, it's more fun to watch the way the Warriors play, and it's more fun to play as a player the way the Warriors play.
For sure.
And so it's a copycat league. Some guys are trying to do it. I know that the Spurs for years were playing that kind of basketball. Mm-hmm. Budenholzer, who went to Atlanta, got him doing that initially, and then they let him go, and now he's look at what he's got. He's got Milwaukee playing some really good basketball because
definitely.
Why? They're trying to play the game the way the game is designed to be played. And for me, as a purist of the game, I guess you'd call me that, that's the way I'd like to see the game being played.
Well, was that an advantage for you back when you were playing? Because from everything I watched from that era, it's the 70s, the ABA, everyone was going one-on-one. Everyone was trying to get me first. But you always, even you just said, you were trying to get assists. You were trying to move the ball, and you guys won. So was that a huge advantage to your team back when you were playing?
Well, I think it's always an advantage if you play that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was doing writing for the San Francisco Examiner when the Warriors won their first title in 40 years and played against the Cleveland. So when I was writing, after the first game, one of the columns I wrote was the Cleveland Cavaliers can never beat the Golden State Warriors playing this brand of basketball. Mm-hmm. I charted stuff, and I think it was – this is an amazing statistic. 49 possessions that the Cavaliers had, they had zero or one pass.
Seems high.
I mean, that seems high.
Seems high, yeah.
49 possessions when nobody passed, I mean, passed or one pass?
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, and then you could just look at the Warriors and their championship when they just beat, you know, when they beat Cleveland and they had them down, and I give Cleveland credit for not getting swept coming in and winning game four. Game five, Cleveland came out, got a lead on the Warriors. The Warriors came back, got ahead of Cleveland. Give Cleveland credit. They didn't fold up. They could have easily on the road done it. They played hard. The game was still close in the third quarter. Two plays turned the game around. Both plays were because the Warriors moved the ball, cut and did stuff. In fact, one of them was J.R. Smith and LeBron involved on, I don't know whether it was Clay going out or Steph going out. They didn't communicate. And
shocking.
They both stepped out. Person slipped in and got dunk. It happened two different times in the third quarter. You go back and watch the film again. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I watch when I'm playing the game or watching the game. And it broke the game open and it was over.
Why?
Because they ran something that made the defense have to make some decisions. It wasn't all one-on-one stuff where you don't have hardly any decisions to make. The only decision you have to make is, okay, am I going to let him stay one-on-one and let the guy try to beat him? Or if I get a double, where do I double from? That's the only decision that has to be made. Mm-hmm. But when you're passing and guys coming off of two and three screens, if you're not talking and communicating, you got to make a lot of decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And
quickly,
in this case, they didn't communicate. Two guys jump out. And so it was designed to get a shot for the shooter.
Mm.
But because the guy who was standing there as the possible screener, he winds up getting the dunk.
Right.
So you wind up getting more opportunities. And if you have players unselfish and they can recognize things, you wind up getting things that aren't necessarily designed for. And so that's fun for me to watch and see the way the game is played when they do those types of things. And that's why the Rockets the same way. They weren't going to beat them last year.
No.
I mean, you talk about how many times did they do it and they came down where Harden had the ball and he never made a pass.
Dribbled a lot. 20, yeah.
I mean, 24 seconds.
You know, I mean, he had the ball the entire time, or he went and he couldn't get a shot and he throws it to him. How would you like to be the wing player? All of a sudden he throws you the ball with 2 seconds on the clock and he throws you a pass and you got to jack up some horrible shot.
Yeah, so many
fits. How are you going to win basketball games that way?
If you miss it, they're mad at you. They're not mad at Harden.
Right. Yeah. And the only way that you can win a game like that is if the guy who's doing it happens to be having an incredible game and shooting a ridiculous percentage.
Right.
But it's just not the way the game should be played.
So let me ask you, who's the most important player on the Warriors right now? Because there's much debate about that.
Well, they're all very important.
For sure.
I mean, they all do their things. Draymond, I think, is an integral part of what they do because of what he does. I mean, the fact that he was willing, and I said when Kevin Durant came there, I said, Draymond, if this team is going to be successful with Kevin coming there, Draymond has to forget about scoring.
Sure.
He has to focus his entire energy on playing the tough defense, rebounding, and being a facilitator because he can bring it up the floor. And it's exactly what he's done. He's had many games where he had triple doubles and he had 10 points, you know, but he had 12 rebounds and 10 assists.
Right.
I mean, so he's more valuable to the team doing that. They don't need somebody else to score. They've got three of the greatest scorers, best all-around players in the history of the game. Three of the greatest shooters too. I mean, and here's the deal. They can shoot from three. They can shoot the mid-range. They can drive to the basket and they're great free throw shooters. So how do you defend that? The reality of it is you can't.
Poorly.
No, you can't.
Found out. Yeah.
You cannot defend that. And that's the reality of it. And so that's why they're so good. And then they also happen to focus and usually play some pretty good defense. Yep. You don't win a championship if you don't play good defense. And that's what the redeeming thing of the NBA over the years, as a fan to start with, then as a player, and then as a broadcaster, and then as a fan again watching. No team has ever won an NBA championship that wasn't a good defensive team. You don't have to be the best.
Right.
Of course, it helps if you are, but you don't have to be the best, but you got to be a good defensive team. You don't win if you don't play defense. Now, along with that, you would say defense wins championships. Yes, it helps you, but if you don't have offense, you're not winning a championship either.
Memphis, yeah.
Let me ask you, what do you think about the Warriors adding a guy like DeMarcus Cousins?
If Boogie comes back and is anywhere close physically to the way he was before he hurt himself last year, it becomes almost a joke how good the Warriors become because they've never had a center with the skills that he has who can provide what he can provide. I mean, he can handle the ball.
Sure can.
He can shoot a three. He can shoot the mid-range. He can score inside, right? Okay. I mean, and he can block shots. I mean, he brings a diversity of skills that the Warriors have never experienced on the championship teams that they've had. They've always had kind of like two centers doing different things, whether it was Bogut and who it might have been, JaVale last year, Zaza, and the other people, Zaza. But now they've got a bona fide great player. I mean, an all-star caliber player at that position. So how do you possibly defend that now? So if they're healthy, going into the playoffs, everybody's healthy, and Boogie is able to assimilate himself into it. If he is able to fit in and do the kind of things that he's capable of doing with the team concept in mind, I just don't know how anybody can beat them.
Even without Boogie, I don't know how people are going to beat them.
It'd be very difficult. In fact, I joked about it last year. I said, well, what do you do when you play the Warriors? I said, well, you go to church, you light a candle, and you pray. Say, God, please let two of their three guys have bad games. Because they can, in a seven-game series, if they only had two guys playing at a high level, they can still win.
They got a chance.
And it's indicative of the fact that, if you remember, when KD was there, I think it was not last year, it might have been the year before, that they swept the first two series, 4-0, 4-0, and Klay Thompson was not anywhere to be found.
Right.
He was off his game, didn't play well at all.
Best job in
the
NBA.
But they swept. They swept both series without him.
Right.
So if he's on his game, not only will they win, they're liable to embarrass you and beat you badly because it's impossible to defend. You can't leave any of them, right? And then you get Boogie, so you can't really leave him either. And so if Draymond has the ball and he's doing whatever he can do, you got to stay home. If he drives, then he can go all the way in because nobody's going to be picking him up because they can't leave anybody. If they do, he can throw it to any one of his four teammates.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting the wrap it up signal, but before we let you go, we can't talk to Rick Barry without asking him how insane it drives you to watch Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, Markelle Fultz now struggle so severely at the free throw line without even considering adapting a try.
Andre Drummond missed more free throws in one game a few seasons ago. In one game, he missed more free throws than I missed in my entire last two seasons.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the only part of the game of basketball where you can be selfish, totally selfish, think nothing about anything except yourself, and still help your team. Think about that.
And there are guys
if you're selfish in any other part of the game, it could be detrimental to your team.
Oh, yeah.
But not on free throw shooting.
Yeah, you have to be selfish.
And it's the only part of the game that's a constant. It's the same every time. It's the only part of the game where you don't have a defender offensively trying to prevent you from doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And yet you could live with yourself if you can't make 80%.
No.
You could live with yourself if you're not shooting 80% from the line. I mean, you can miss one out of every five shots.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond my comprehension how guys can be that bad. I still can't figure out how Andres Bjelland's 1 year. I think 1 year he shot 18%.
I thought it was like 7, honestly.
No, I think it was 18 or 19%. I mean, that's like, I think I could stand there with my eyes closed, throwing it over my head and do better than that if I practiced enough. But yeah, I don't understand. I really just don't understand why people wouldn't try anything to get to be better, and why there's this aversion to trying underhanded. Who cares what you look like? What difference does it make? It's all about the results. And I'm just astonished that somebody wouldn't give it a try, because there's no question. I know they can shoot better. I've seen it happen. George Johnson, my teammate, was a 45, 48% shooter. He switched over. He actually got up to 80% 1 year in his career. And if you took a guy like Shaq, and Shaq had made 80% of his free throws, the Lakers
– all-time leading scorer.
Well, yeah, but the Lakers, you wouldn't beat him, because all you do is give him the ball at the end of a game in a close game, and he's going to score and get a three-point shot, or he's going to make his free throws, and he becomes the go-to guy.
Right.
So it just makes such a difference in the quality of your team, and that's why the Warriors are so tough, because they have so many guys who are good free throw shooters, and you put the ball in his hands. But I just don't know. I don't know why, but, it's just personal pride, I guess. I mean, go out there and practice and learn how to do it. My son Scooter is working on something called the Solid Shot. It's the greatest technology I've ever seen in my life. It's a sophisticated sensor sleeve that actually can help people learn how to shoot the ball better. And he actually worked with DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard and Drummond a little bit. And why in the world the teams didn't continue to do it, have him working all the time with it, having my son working with him. Right. He got DeAndre Jordan in 3 sessions. He shot 250 free throws or something, whatever. He was shooting over 75%.
Wow.
And yet he lost the sleeve, didn't continue to work with it.
Lost the sleeve.
No, seriously. I mean, why? I don't know. But anyway, it is what it is. And, guys are getting paid multi-millions of dollars and they can't shoot free throws. It's hard to believe. And I'm just happy. The NBA, it's already despicable that they already put a rule in, worrying about this. But to talk about doing something else where they're not going to allow a coach to take advantage of the fact that a team has a weakness.
Yeah.
What other sport? It'd be like saying, oh, wait a second, baseball. Okay, this guy can't hit the curveball, so you can only throw 2 curveballs.
Do not throw him a curveball.
Only 2. Only 2. Or a guy he's not good on the deep ball as a defensive back, so you can only throw 2 deep balls to him during the course of the
game.
More
than fair.
I mean, are you freaking kidding me?
Right.
I mean, what do you do as a coach? You exploit the weakness of your opponent.
Right.
And if a player can't shoot the ball, exploit it. And now, yeah, sure, it's screwing the game and everything. Yeah, well, hey, that's up to the coach. If he wants to lose the games, take the guy out of the game, which a lot of them have started to do. Mm-hmm. But don't change the rules of the game to help a guy because he sucks at something.
More than fair.
Yeah,
more than fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rick, we really appreciate it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, and happy holidays to everybody, whatever it is that you're celebrating. I don't know when you're airing this, but
soon and very soon.
Very soon. So happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Jewish holidays. Let's cover everybody, right?
Always.
So it's a good time.
Always. Next time
God bless. Good health.
Next time I see you, I won't be dressed like such a clown, so you can respect me a little bit more.
Well, maybe you'll just like a clown.
All right.
That might be good. I mean, clowns.
A lot of options.
I like clowns. I'm not afraid of clowns. Some people have an
big
aversion. They scare
them.
They don't scare me.
Yeah, we're going to have to touch more on this clown.
Hey, besides,
stuff
here's the thing. My nickname is affectionately as Bozo. No, seriously, because I do a lot of Bozo things, and my wife and my son call me Bozo, and it really is very appropriate.
Very fitting.
Very fitting. A very fitting nickname for me. So anyway, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Glad you guys are here covering what the NBA RPA is doing, and you'll see more and more good things coming from this. Got a great group.
Wait. Thank you again.
Appreciate it.
If it opened, it'd be even better.
We know our pals at Movement.
Oh, I know them real well after this weekend. Now, it's time to move on to our all-time favorite underdog success story. My fight back to the NBA after 6 years in Greece. No, Movement watches. Founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank, they've sold nearly 2 million watches worldwide by bringing quality designs at fair prices. With Movement's versatile line of watches, glasses, which I can attest do fit upon your face, and accessories, you'll be sure to find the perfect holiday gift this season. Tell me how good my glasses looked the other night, boy.
Buddy, I've never seen a more dapper individual.
Oh.
I had everyone in the office coming up today being like, who are you with? Like, what NBA player was guiding you around that soiree? I was like, friend, that was former NBA player and your coworker, Tyrell Withers.
That's right.
No one could believe it.
No one could believe it.
That's right. They couldn't see the pin on my lapel.
That's right.
Yes, only for legends. Only for legends.
I forgot. Every time Tyler would tell someone that he was their former teammate, he would just point at the pin on his jacket.
Just a little reminder.
They don't give these to any old person, you see.
Yeah, and I could see the wheels turning in everybody's head like, they don't give those to any old person.
This man has a point.
Yeah. That's when they, arms around my shoulders left and right. But, yeah, I got those movement glasses, threw them on with the tux.
Mm-hmm. Felt quite a look.
Felt like a good look. Felt like a good...
With the when you first said you had a navy blazer with black pants, I was like, that's not how fashion works.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said, too.
Then when I saw it, I was like, oh, no, this is... We better hope there's plenty of chairs there, because there's going to be a lot of weak-kneed fellas and ladies in attendance tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, I didn't have the vision. I got to shout out Boutique on the Hill, because that's where I stumbled into Friday afternoon. Late. And Dorian stayed late long after the shop had closed to help me get my look together. And she was like, nah, I'm telling you, this is the one. I was like, are you sure? And she was like, you can't dress and I can. And I was like, touche. So, yes, if you're in D.C.
Please marry me and abuse me for years.
Please. Please and thank you. Yeah, so if you are on the hill, they call it on the hill because it's on Capitol Hill by all the big buildings, the giant white dick. You've been to D.C. So, yes, Boutique on the Hill. Shout out to them. But, yes, had on my movement glasses. I think they brought the look together. And they start. Well, the watches do. The glasses, they're not for sale. Those are mine. Get a new angle.
The glasses are priceless. You couldn't. Yes. Whatever they tell you to pay, you're getting you're robbing them blind.
Yes. 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 Movement watches started just $95. You're looking at $400 for the same quality from a traditional brand. What would you do?
Look like a friendly Malcolm X is what he looks like.
You know what? That's really what I was going for.
Lower the guard of the whites and infiltrate them that way.
A less aggressive letter than X, like just like Malcolm O or something like that. But listen, if you need help giving the perfect gift idea, you just don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Movement got your back. They did all the hard work this holiday season so you wouldn't have to. By curating curating their favorite styles into awesome gift boxes and packages, I want you to get 25% off today during Movement's Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. Which will be on those days, of course. This is a heads up to you, the listener. Another heads up, free shipping. Another heads up, free returns. But you won't have any of those. But you have to go to MVMT.com/mixtape. They're launching new styles on the site all the time. Check out their latest at MVMT.com. Go to MVMT.com/mixtape. 25% off during the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. Join the movement.
We are here with the legendary Nancy Lieberman. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. You guys look absolutely interesting.
Thank you.
Nicer than Rick.
Yeah, but Rick's got 99 problems, but you're not one of them.
We are most certainly not one of them.
Yeah. Right.
You were almost one.
It's a good look.
So how are you enjoying the Players Party weekend so far?
It's been fantastic. Just to be a part of the NBRPA and, you know, the vision of Scott Rochelle, our CEO. And to have our founders here, I mean, think about it, to have Archie Clark here and Dave Cowens and, you know, Oscar would have been here, but he had some knee surgery. Mm. You know, Dave Bing has been active with us. Just to know that these guys formed this group 25 years ago and they're still heavily involved, it's pretty cool for all of us at the table.
How did you get involved? There are a lot of retired players. Some would say that there are a lot of retired players. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of retired players. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like is that they want to be progressive. Yeah. And, you know, they want to make sure that there's inclusion and opportunity. And about 6 years ago, I was asked by Otis Birdsong, who was the chair at that point, and Rick Barry, if I would consider coming on the board. They had never had a woman on the board for, you know, 19, 20 years. And at first, I think I said no like 3 or 4 times. And then, you know, Rick just said, this is really important. Yeah, lose this number.
How did you get my number?
Lose this number. But it makes sense. You know, they want to make sure that everybody has a voice at the table, not just retired NBA guys. Because, you know, the W's in the mix, the ABA players, the Harlem Globetrotters. And you have to have somebody with a different thought and a different opinion. And, you know, I'm glad it's me. I'm the right person for that job. So I've been a part of this for 6 years.
Do you ever get tired of breaking barriers?
I don't. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just part of my life. It's kind of cool when somebody says you're a trailblazer or you're breaking barriers. It just means that you've done something right in your career. And,
or something very wrong.
Yeah, that's prison. Okay.
Yeah, trailblazer, yeah.
And I am from New York. But what I will say about this is, you know, think of the athletes from the 80s who are relevant in 2018. McEnroe, Barkley, Jordan, myself, you know, Martina. So I really feel, talking about reinventing yourself as a player, then I did broadcasting, now coaching, you know, certainly for Cube and the Big Three. Mm-hmm. I feel so blessed and humbled. And that's probably not a word I used when I was playing, humble. But you gain perspective as you get older and you realize that, you know, these people are around you are part of something very special in your life. My son TJ, he's playing professionally. Okay. He played summer league last year with the Milwaukee Bucks, and he's finishing a contract in Israel and Tel Aviv. So many great things have happened through this sport that, you know, 40 years ago, I wasn't supposed to play because girls don't play sports. And here I am with you and the hat. I think that's
it's a strong hat.
It's a hat.
It's a strong
it
hat.
It is a hat.
It's nice.
There's no doubt about it.
Bought it today.
1 out of 10. What's a hat?
Oh, boy.
Oh, the hat's a 10.
Oh.
I like fun. That's
there we
great.
Go. Yeah, there we go.
7 out of 10 suit.
Right when we walked
hat.
In,
yeah.
They have giant, like, Christmas ornaments in the lobby. Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it festive. Here?
Felt
MGM?
Right at home. Last time I was here, I saw Cher. So every time I come here, it's just a lovely experience.
It's getting better and better.
Was she wearing a little stocking cap?
She was wearing a lot of little, for sure.
A lot of little.
Whole heap of little. Yeah, you talk about older athletes. You were close personal friends with Muhammad Ali.
We spent a lifetime together. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
That,
you know, I was this, you know, poor little redheaded Jewish kid growing up in New York who happened to be a girl. That fell in love with basketball. It really, sports, football, baseball, basketball right. changed my mm-hmm. life.
Sounds like you're a big tennis girl, too.
Huh? Well, that was later on okay. in when I was about 22. But to see this guy on TV and I'm walking in the kitchen, and really I was kind of hopeless and helpless because I didn't have anything. And I see this guy on TV and he's like, I beat George Foreman. I beat Joe Frazier. Like, I beat Sonny Liston back in 1964. I'm too pretty not to be the champion of the world. I am the greatest of all times. And I walk in the kitchen and I talk like this because, you know, like I'm from New York. And I look at my mother and I go, I'm going to be the greatest of all times. I'm going to knock you out. And she goes,
go to bed. Yeah.
She goes, I'm your mother. Yeah. I said, I'm going to knock you out. I don't know what I'm going to do to him. She goes, him's your brother. And I just stood at the door frame and I said, you know, hands on hips. You better get used to me. I'm going to make history. I'm going to be the greatest of all times. So the black heavyweight champion of the world had such an influence on me, which, of course, he didn't know. You know, I get a scholarship to college, to Old Dominion. I'm the youngest Olympic basketball player ever, still, yeah. male or female.
Not
I was
to brag.
Hey, you had Rick Barry on here. This is this is like mild.
You're right.
And I started doing the underhand shot. Went no,
didn't work.
Sorry, Rick. 50%, yeah. No, I love Rick. I love Rick. He's great. He shot 99.8% in everything he did. But more importantly, sports gave me a chance to build my confidence and self-esteem. Go to college, play in the Olympics in high school. And then the craziest thing happens in my senior year at Old Dominion. I'm asked to go to the New York Stock Exchange for a fundraiser.
Sure.
I'm feeling good about myself, go home, my mom, my best friend. And I look at the man as we're going up the escalator. I said, like, so who's the other athlete that's going to be here? And the guy goes, Muhammad Ali.
You're like, who?
This is 1979. And I'm like, he's here? He's in the building? Muhammad Ali is here. He goes, yeah, he's in the green room. We're going there now. The door opened, and I was mesmerized. I couldn't believe my man, who changed my life, was in front of me.
Was right there, yeah.
And my mom goes over to him and puts her hand on his neck and goes, Mr. Muhammad, my name is Rini Lieberman from Far Rockaway, Queens.
He's like, oh, from Far Rockaway. Yeah, okay. I know you very well.
And he just looks at her like, you just said. And she goes, my daughter is the greatest of all times. And he goes, listen here, lady, there's only one greatest of all time, and it's me.
Let me stop you right there. Yeah.
But he was great. He calls me over, and I walk over, and I'm so nervous, and I can't breathe, and I'm hyperventilating, and my head's down. And he goes, your mom says you're good. And I'm like, no, Mr. Muhammad.
Actually,
like,
I stink.
I'm not that good. I'm the greatest of all times. And he goes, there's two of us? I said, yeah. And I hit people, too, and I get in fights all the time. And he goes, you're not supposed to fight. Yeah, I'm like, you do? He goes, I get paid to fight. And he must have just—he must have just seen like the brokenness in me that a lot of people couldn't see because I hid behind being Nancy Lieberman, the basketball player.
For sure.
And we went back to his hotel and sat with him for like 2 hours, exchanged numbers. You know, no cell, no texting. Right. I mean, you had to actually stay in touch.
Yuck.
And yeah, it was. You had to actually work
like a lot
at
of
this.
Work, yeah.
And he said to me, there'll never be a day that I'm not in your life. And I'm like, but you're Muhammad Ali. Like, you're the heavyweight champion. He goes, I will always be in your life. Fast forward to the day he died. I mean, I'd go to the house. I'd sit with him. I would hold his hand. I would feed him freezer pops. He liked those. And he had a little bib on towards the end.
Yeah.
We would sit and we would talk in the house in Phoenix. And before I got the job coaching with the Kings, we were sitting around one day. He goes, you're going to be coaching in the NBA. And I'm like, Muhammad, there's no women in the NBA. You're going to be – he
always knew.
Yeah.
He's like, listen to me.
Right. Yeah. I've been right before.
Like, yeah, right?
I called the greatest thing. Now I'm calling this. Yeah.
But he was so cool. And I remember I was in the gym at Plano West putting my son through a workout with Del Harris.
Okay.
The great Del Harris. And my phone rings and it's Vlade. And he goes, you know, we'd like to hire you. As I was so happy. The next call I made was to the Ali's.
Yeah. Wow.
And he actually came to the game when we played the Suns that November. Mm-hmm. Like 8 months before he died, he was in the suite. He took pictures with my guys after the game.
Wow.
And I miss him every day because he used to tell me, you know, there are two people in life. There's givers and takers. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm asking you to be a giver. He taught me about racism. He taught me about philanthropy. He taught me to just, you know, be bold and be strong because the better you get, the more attention you get, people are going to try to chop you down.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the most phenomenal, fascinating people. He had such a heart he had so much love for people and situations. And remember when they thought he was racist?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was not, I mean, white people, he's racist. No, he's not.
White people don't know what racism is.
No. It's, you know, I mean, you don't have to feel guilty that you don't know what racism is.
Right.
I'm the blackest white woman you know. I grew up where black guys in Rucker Park when I was 11, 12, 13 years old championed me, protected me, rode the train with me from Rucker back to Far Rockaway, 50 minutes. We switched trains. I didn't know I was teaching my mom not to judge or profile people. But, I mean, I love everybody. You know, I know white people they're some idiots. I know some black people who are, you know, idiots. Yeah. I don't look at he's pointing at you, by the way.
I figured as much, yeah.
I had to sell you out on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's on video.
I understand, it's fine.
You know, but the thing that we do that's really special in sports is that sports cuts through all the social nonsense. It's like we've never met, but if the three of us were playing, you know, those guys right now, and we all look different, we would be called teammates.
Correct.
And we'd have to trust each other and believe in each other. And, like, you know, I steal this from Eminem all the time. I am who I say I am. You don't get to tell me who I am. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just rap?
You did. It was a bar.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But people are not going to be able to tell me who I am. They can't stop me from caring about you just because we look different. And I'm sorry. I think people are trying to divide us and put us in these little, you know, pockets of who we should be friends with. Quite frankly, I don't care if you're a Democrat, a liberal, or a Republican. Mm. If you've got a good heart, that's all I care about. If you care about other people, if you compete, if you love the New York Yankees, we're going to be really tight.
Oh, no.
Okay, see, we're fighting.
Oh, no. Don't cover your hand. Yeah.
How did you
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We've had plenty of success.
Yes, we have. We have 27 rings, it's true. By the way.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. So, but really, congratulations.
Not many people like him were allowed to
play. The Red Sox. So, you know, sports just cut through, you know, the power of the logo, right?
For sure.
Definitely.
And I just wish society was like us a little bit more because it's so fractured right now.
It'll get back.
Will it?
I think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been more fractured than now.
It's pretty tough right now.
Not ideal.
It is.
I think you should run for president.
Well, I would never run for president. I think I stole some licorice when I was like 7 at a candy store in Far Rockaway.
You're no angel, Nancy.
No, right? Yeah. What did they say? Sinners have a past and saints have a future. Right?
That's exactly what they say.
That's
what I say.
That's what he said. I just took
every
it.
Every day, he texts me.
I'd say it every day, every morning.
Yeah, we're
so no presidential campaign?
No.
Just
no.
Governor. Just governor.
Governor.
Yeah. Senator.
Governor of the Big Three League.
Okay.
Which has been fun.
Yeah.
You're also coach of the year, right?
Well, I voted for myself, yes.
As you
have to.
Yeah, as you should have.
Let me tell you, the guys that are playing in the Big Three are former NBA guys. As I tell people, this is not your grandfather's, you know, old-timers day at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
These are guys in their late 30s, early 40s who can still ball. Their IQ is off the charts. Their competitiveness is tremendous. I mean, you just interviewed Rick Barry. He still has that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't lose that as you get older. I mean, I know. I played in the WNBA at 39 and 50.
Right.
Okay, so I know what it's like.
I did that as well, yes.
Yes, I know. you don't hang out with older women.
Yeah, you gave me a lot of buckets. You gave me a lot of buckets.
But the cool thing about, you know, what the NBA has done, they've given all these guys and gals now with the W and the G League an opportunity to do what we do and what we love and what has helped build certain characteristics in us. As leaders, as champions, you know, right now, Fortune 500 companies, 80% of them are hiring former high school, college athletes, men and women, because we can be yelled at, we can game plan, we're wired to win, we have a DNA for teamwork. So it's really important, and it's not to mention it's mentally and physically, it's healthy. This is really important for today's kid. You got to be healthy. If I'm a mom. And if you're not a mom.
I'm not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. When you breastfeed, it's going to be a bear. Okay, I'm just throwing that out.
You told me as much, yes.
Mm. Okay. Mm. So I'm glad you guys are still communicating.
Yes.
Constantly.
But my son, it's important for me as a mom to teach my son, you know, certain characteristics. The same way I talk to our players.
Right.
Firm, fair. But truth,
right.
Whether it's coaching in the WNBA, coaching in the NBA, or coaching in the Big Three, there has to be that respect that you earn from these players. You know, you talked about Rondo with Rick Barry. I love Rondo. I mean, I love DeMarcus Cousins, Omri Caspi, Bellinelli, you know, a lot of the guys that I coached in Sacramento. And you know, you look at Corey Maggette, who was the MVP.
Oh,
you know, who tears an Achilles tendon and comes back not only to play, but comes back and is the MVP of the Big Three?
Yeah.
You know, Q Rich is beloved by so many people. Catino Mobley, you know, he's the original Uncle Drew, by the way.
He came back from some
big way, yeah.
You know, and he's a game-winning shot. And then you have Birdman.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, his IQ is off the charts. He's got 2 championship rings.
Sure does.
And then you have Big Baby Davis, who...
What a motley crew.
I mean, we were just a beautiful group of misfits in this league, but you know, Big Baby is really intelligent, and like we could talk it out about how we want to do something or the strategy of how we're going to play. And he says, "Coach, I think I can get here on you know this way, or I can be in a drop, or." And we talk to each other, we listen to each other. Ultimately, I have to make the final decision.
True.
But if you pour into each other, and they know I'm doing my work, I know they're doing their work. Now you have a recipe like the Warriors for success.
Oh, yeah. So I was gonna, like, was much, I guess, difference in going like the Kings, the big league, or like once you establish that like communication, respect, everybody kind of, I think everybody kind of wants those things, right? Everybody wants to be communicated with clearly. Everybody wants to be respected as an adult.
The one thing that you cannot do with athletes, or you shouldn't do it at all, is you got to be a great communicator, will be a great leader, and will have a lot of success. Just be upfront with people.
Right.
You know what? You're probably going to come off the bench. You're going to start. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to set these screens. Mm-hmm. I need you to be productive in the first 4 or 5 minutes. Make sure you delineate what your expectations are. And, you know, just don't blow smoke at people.
Right.
And I think that's so important in life, in love, in business, in relationships, in coaching. Communication is the key. You know, how many times you see people, he just doesn't communicate with me. He just doesn't talk to me. It doesn't matter if you're a guy, girl, old, young, white, black, whatever. Communication is so important. And just letting people know that no matter what happens here, we care. And and you have to give them a purpose and you have to give them a game plan. My players with the Kings and with the in the Big Three with power, they don't care if I'm a woman.
Right.
I'm trying to get them to their next contract, and I'm trying to get them to something they might not have. A lot of my guys never had a chip,
right.
Never won. Q Rich is an amazing guy, hasn't won. Corey Maggette, amazing, MVP, never had the ring. Same thing with Ketino Mobley. Xavier Silas, Baby has a ring, and like I said, Birdman has a ring. That's really special to know how to win. It's really hard to win. It's really hard. People don't understand that. And I remember being with DeMarcus Cousins, and he'd be on all those USA teams, and I know because I've been on Olympic teams and played, you know, for so many years. You're sitting in the locker room, okay? And everybody's talking about, you remember game 7 when I did this and I hit that elbow jump shot and we went to overtime. And DeMarcus, that's right, you never played in a game 7. Yeah. Oh, that's right, you never played in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
he beats them mercilessly. Yeah.
You have nothing to contribute.
Yeah. Right.
DeMarcus Cousins, for everything anybody says about him, he's the first guy to practice and he's one of the last guys to leave. He's got more talent. I mean, I've never seen a big man like that with that talent.
I can't wait till this airs and people argue with that. People are going to be like, that's not true. So, what are you talking
about?
Have
you seen his PER?
I was there every day.
I believe you.
You want to know how many shots?
People love to argue about DeMarcus Cousins' work ethic for reasons I've never
understood. He's got an amazing work ethic. And the same thing with Rondo.
Yeah.
Rondo was organizing film. Rondo was texting me at 3 in the morning. I'm like, lose this number.
Right. Well, I am asleep.
Go to sleep. He goes, Coach, you know, can you look at this? Did you see what happened in, you know, at 8:23 in the fourth? Oh, I just happened, you know, to be watching the same thing.
I was just about to text
Rajan.
You. Yeah. Is he going to be a coach?
Excuse me?
Is Rondo going to coach?
Oh, he could be a coach in a heartbeat. You better be on your A game with Rondo.
He'll fight you.
Because... Yes. If you don't know the name, if you don't know the movements of your set, he will shred you apart. You know, Rashad McCants was like that also. Very, very high IQ. I coached him in the NBA G League with the Legends. Antonio Daniels, Joe Alexander, Sean Williams. You know, we had some pretty good guys. But you have to make sure, you know, my job was to earn their respect every day. And to make sure that I was talking to them as human beings also. Hey, DeMarcus, how are the kids? What's going on? How's mom? You know, are you going to get back, you know, to Mobile? You know, talk to me. Same thing with Rondo. Let them know you care.
Right.
There's something special about knowing that your coach cares. And if I pour enough love and kindness and truth into you when I have to look at you and go, cut the crap.
Yeah.
Right. You'll know it's coming from
this
a good
is what
place.
We, and you're not going to, you know, give me a hand and kind of, you know.
Not just a boss.
Like, right. You're right. Not going to la, 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 not, like my son does to me. Just kidding, TJ. So, you know, respect is respect also.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to, you know, grind and work hard together, that's really important.
So Sue Bird just got a front office job with what, Nuggets? Is that right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Becky Hammon, of course, is getting. It was last summer seemed to be the most. Did the Bucks interview her?
I think so. I think she got a couple
for a head coaching front job. Office job.
Or if it's a front office, okay.
That's right. But these jobs hopefully are going to keep coming more and more for former WNBA players or former women's basketball players or former or current women's like
current women.
People.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel just seeing that that is still happening and hopefully happening more? How I wanted to phrase this was Ali had a big impact on you. I assume you had a big impact on these people who are still growing in the game today.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
We're all sisters and brothers in the game. So I always give a lot of credit to Donnie Nelson because when Donnie in 2010 hired me to be the first woman head coach of, you know, at the time it was the D League, with the Mavericks, and we made the playoffs the first year. And Donnie didn't put, like, a toe in. He's like Coach Popovich. He put both feet in, and I felt very protective the way Coach Pop is very protective of Becky.
Right.
So the more women that we see, like Becky was hired, then I was hired, then, you know, Christy Tolliver's scouting for the Wizards. Jenny Boone is now in Dallas with the Mavericks, and now, you know, with Sue getting this job in the front office, we need opportunity. And the one thing, like, people ask me, are you ever afraid in these situations? I don't ever feel pressure when I'm coaching or whether I'm playing against men. And I did that my whole life.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I played for Pat Riley in the Lakers in 1980. I played for Frank Layton in the Jazz. I played in the USBL for 2 years. So when given opportunity, you're never fearful. When people don't give you opportunity is when you become fearful and have anxiety. And I think in many cases that is, if I may be so bold, the black community is saying, we get scared when we don't get opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we have
anybody
to be...
Anybody underprivileged, really. Yeah.
Right, underserved. Yeah, sure, I mean, technically, sure. Yeah. I'm a minority.
Right, yeah. For sure.
And it's so important to let people know that if you're qualified, mm-hmm. if I'm qualified, if I've done the things that I need to do to earn the right, everybody doesn't get Skittles, you know? Everybody just doesn't get one just because.
Just because.
Just
yeah,
because.
That's how it goes,
you have
yeah.
to earn the right to have certain jobs in life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're out there and we're showing people that we're dedicated. I mean, Sue Bird's been playing for 16 years.
Right.
Trust me, she's qualified in judging talent, and I'm just really proud that the Nuggets, you know, stepped up and said, you know, we'd like to have her. Or Coach Brooks saw, you know, Christy Tolliver, and you know, and I still say that, you know, Becky, I believe, will be a head coach in the NBA in short order.
Yeah.
She's done everything right, and she's had the right person, you know, showing her what it takes to be at the next level.
I'm excited.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty. I do have one. They called you Lady Magic growing up, right?
Yes.
Is that, you feel like I was kind of selling you short? Were you like, he should be a man Nancy?
No. That's so funny because when I was growing up playing in Harlem, they called me Fire because I had that fiery personality. Okay. You know, you're just trying to establish, you know, some type of.
Just yelling curse words at everyone.
I tried not to do that, but just how I played. I was a very physical player because I just want, you know, Ali taught me respect everybody, fear nobody. So I would just play hard. So when I was in college and I was throwing all these passes, Magic Johnson came with Michigan State, I think it was my junior year, to play Old Dominion men's team. Mm. And after their Optimus Classic, through the holidays, the newspaper, Virginia Pilot, said, well, if he's Magic, she must be Lady Magic because we've been watching this for 2 years. Mm. So that kind of stuck. And, you know, Irvin and I ended up becoming, you know, very good friends over time. And his sister, Evelyn, she played at South Carolina, and we played against each other, you know, for a couple years. So it was kind of cool to not only get to know her, but to get to know him. And and it was just fun. And, you know, I think it's kind of the branding and making the game exciting.
For sure. Yeah.
Because I was a show person. I was a show pony.
Yeah. So you grew up on street ball.
Yes.
So were you more of a Walt Frazier person or Earl of Pearl Monroe person?
I will say that I'm friends with both. Uh-huh. But I'm number 10 my whole career, wow. entire career,
yep.
because
through
of
through.
Clyde, wow. and I wore Pumas. But I will say that I also played center in high school. I loved Willis Reed.
Ooh, okay.
I loved the tenacity of what the captain brought to the team. I can shoot as well lefty as I can righty now because of, you know, Willis's shooting mm-hmm. and just the step through move.
Yeah.
And Clyde was just so cool and calm, and both of them had a big effect on me. And also at that time, you know, Julius just rocking New York. And so I had three really great basketball
role
models.
Rocker when Julius came through?
Yeah, it was kind of – yeah, I have to tell you, I was 15 years old, and my neighbor said, we're going to Julius Erving's basketball camp. And I was like, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. So we go up to camp, and I get to meet Dr. J.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And you know the story where, like, you know, they pat you on the head, mm-hmm. and he says, now you work hard,
yeah. right.
and you're going to be a really great player. And I'm like, thank you. It's really nice of you.
Mr. J, yeah.
Well, this, yeah. The next year, I make the Pan American team in 1975. I come back to camp with the gold medal, and I see Julius, and he looks at me. I go, "You told me that if I should work hard."
He was like,
and he
lying.
Looks at it.
Yeah, what's the meaning of this?
USA team. I said, "Yeah, and I'm going to try out for the Olympic team next year." Julius and I laugh about it now. I took it literally. Like he said, "Go be great."
Hey,
okay.
Like, nobody ever believes me.
Will do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had an amazing life. I'm blessed beyond recognition to still be a part of this game on so many levels, TV or coaching, to work with Ice Cube. I still do the TV now for the Pelicans. And I just feel very humbled to be a part of this game that has brought me so much joy. It's a great love story.
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's on TV now. But it is. It's a great love story of this game giving so much to somebody. And I'm just trying to give it back with a good heart and be a good influence on the future players, both men and women.
I guess before we let you go, I guess what's the next step, I guess, in that giving back, in that pulling the men and women of the game in?
Or the next chapter of the Nancy Lieberman story.
I don't know. You know,
that's my next chapter for you.
We're just going to get, I mean, we have a lot of sway online, not to brag. We're going to have you write in. So you're just going to be president. You don't have much say.
Congratulations, President Lieberman.
You know, you guys are awesome. But, you know, my goal was obviously just to coach in the NBA. And I'm very grateful to Vlade and Vivek and everybody in Sacramento. But my mom got sick. My mom almost died. And, you know, you get to that moment in your life where you say, you know, it's family first,
right. mm-hmm.
but then you get paid a lot or it's a high profile job and you go, you know, right. with that. And I just didn't know if I'd get to see my mom again. So for me to leave the NBA was, I mean, I knew it would hurt me in my quest to kind of move up and to continue to learn the game. But it's okay. And then, you know, being close to the game through doing TV helped. And then the blessing of Ice Cube. Because I really didn't know if I'd coach again. I want to coach again.
Right.
I can coach again. But to be able to do that and for Power to win the championship and for me to have such an amazing core of guys to coach and the success that we had was a dream come true. And, you know, the word that comes to mind is I felt very blessed, just to be a part of something so impactful.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we went to the very first big three game at Barclays, actually, and I left there with, I saw in my closet, a power Corey Maggette jersey, because growing up, he was one of my favorite players.
He's a great guy. He's our captain of our team. Mm. When you have two guys...
Did you ever call him bad porn to his face?
No, no, no. But wow. I did pull up the YouTube of him flipping backwards.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was like,
"Do it now!" Yeah,
we're
gonna run this play.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and then you think about Kat. Nobody is tougher than Kat. And then the relationships that you don't even realize is that we're in the locker room one day and we're sitting around talking, and then all of a sudden, Quentin Richardson is talking about when he and Corey Maggette were in the eighth grade together. I'm like, y'all in the eighth grade together?
What a story.
And they start talking about what it was like growing up. Right. And then we're on the bus going to the arena one day, and Kat knew Chris Anderson when he was at Blinn, you know? And
like
he
community college, right?
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, you guys have known each other for 20-something years?
Yeah.
So the relationships were so unbelievable. And then we get guys like Ryan Gomes, who ended up, you know, hurting himself. And then Xavier Silas, who was with the Celtics last year. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the first big three guy called up to the NBA.
Yeah.
And you get to know their stories as people. You know, Mahmoud, we spent more time in the weight room together. You know, he's going to be 50 this year. And to see my, I call them my guys, meaning guys in the league who I've watched for so long, or to get to spend time with Amare or Stoudemire or Nate Robinson. These are really amazing men who love this game so much that they still want to put it on the line. They still want to work on their body. And the other part of it is you get to meet their children. Like when Chauncey comes in and his daughters are there.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, their kids never saw them play.
Right.
You know, my son TJ, I was 39 years old in the WNBA with the Phoenix Mercury when TJ was three.
Right.
And so for him to see what his mom did for a living, and now, you know, he's 6'9" and he can bench press me. And but it's really cool because it comes full circle. And we really are an incredible family. What Adam Silver and Mark Tatum have done for the NBA, the W and the G League, what the, you know, NBA Retired Players Association has done, you know, under our CEO, Scott Rochelle, what Michelle Roberts is doing with the PA, and guys like Chris Paul and LeBron are right there on the cutting edge of all decisions. Mm-hmm. That lets you know that they care because they don't have to do it.
No.
But they choose to have that influence on the players coming up behind them. And now with the big three giving an extended opportunity to coaches, to legends like Dr. J and Gervin and all those guys, Rick Barry. How beautiful is this? It really, we're all in it together, even though we're in our, you know, little areas. But The spotlight is definitely there for women as long as we do our job and just appreciate the opportunities that are given.
Well, Nancy Lieberman, future president.
Yes.
Current coach of the Big Three Coach of the Year. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. A vote for me is a vote for humanity.
Yeah.
And I know Rick wants to have better foul shooters. I just want world peace.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're much less.
You two run it, differing.
And I'm buying you guys bar stools for Christmas.
Oh yeah, need them.
I would like that a lot. I would like that a lot. Thank you so much.
It's coming out of the NBRPA budget.
That's right.
Fine by me.
Yeah. Don't tell Scott.
It doesn't affect us one way or the other. So.
Yeah. Perfect.
We got you.
So I'm watching her fine ass walk to my bedroom and thought to myself, that's the shape of things to come, she said. Why in the club you don't make it precipitate? You know, make it rain when you can make it thunderstorm. I'm like, why? The world needs sun, the hood needs funds. There's a war going on and half the battle is guns. How dare I throw it on the floor when people are poor? So I write like Edgar Allan to restore. Got a cord, umbilical, attached to a place that can't afford no landscaping or window draping. This old lady told me
if I ain't got nothing good, say Nathan. That's why I don't talk much. I swear it don't cost much to pay attention to me. I tell it like it is, then I tell it how it could be. The hood be requesting my services. Oh, don't get nervous, it's step your game of time. These ain't them same old rhymes designed to have you dancing in some club. Niggas ride to me, women be off in they tub, exfoliating with they pom-poms, yelling, go 3,000. I'm in my whatever, bumping while 100 miles and running, 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 summon, woman, coming, sit down, heard you need some plumbing, dunning, I'm in a swell mood, a rather swole mood, until she told me that she told dude that she'll be back, she's going to the store. I didn't know she had a boyfriend, so the door I pointed her to, I said, call me when y'all break up. I don't fuck nobody, bitch, you never owned a Jacob, know what time it is, nigga, just trying to live like a nigga supposed to live. If I still drink that malt liquor, I'd pour the beer on the ground for niggas not around. I started off starving, now they got me out here Brett Favre-ing, trying to see if I still got it, got it. I guess it's like a right think about it, about it, about it, about it.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no. Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't run. We the boss in here, we lost this shit. Cause ain't nobody doing it like we do, oh no.
This bitch in the VIP I used to clip like Rob the Bar, but it seems she couldn't shape up. Cupcaker, I didn't bother, she's a follower, a hell of a swallower, not a leader. Got a first, second, third, and fourth string, I didn't need her. I didn't mean to treat her like she was the main feature presentation. Her just a traitor to be situation, more like a hassle, because she had no keys to the castle. The queen sits on the throne, why this whole ride down on national Zoom. Go ahead, oh, and beat your feet. Drop, drop, drop down and get your eagle on, freak. We ever so discreet with this meat. Got a whole lot to lose if paparazzi ever shot or shoot we. Meaning me and you, us together in the lens. My ends would be gone just like some dro in the wind. Throw the hoe, you gonna win. Show enough, we gon' pretend to the land of make-believe. Now come on and hit this hen. Taking shots to the neck, now that's love in your mind out. Now we're affiliates, so don't give me the gangster grill. No drama, it makes no sense. I got a mean ass backhand and a that don't miss, bitch.
Nothing gonna stop us now, you can't stop us. What you gonna do right now, you can't